This
is After Sunday.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of After Sunday. I am one of your co-hosts, Elissa, and I'm joined today by Alex.
We are back again. Still hot outside.
Very hot. And today we are actually concluding, I know I said that last time, but we are concluding our study of the revival of hope this month. So our key verses are John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, and that's the passage where Jesus talks about he's going to prepare a place for us. And I'd like to start off by talking a little bit about that preparing a place, and the act of preparing for somebody conjures some certain imagery and emotions. I know Craig mentioned the example of like when a college student comes home and how, you know, you empty the washer because they're coming back with a big load of laundry. I have family that lives far away from me, and I know whenever they come, I get so excited getting everything ready, like making sure that their bedroom is all, you know, ready to go and the sheets are clean, everything's fresh. Maybe sometimes I'll go out and I'll get some of their favorite foods or snacks that I like because I'm just so excited to have them with me and to see them. And that's how Jesus feels when we're and the Lord feels when we're talking about like he's going to prepare a place for us. He's so excited for us to come and see what he has prepared.
And I think that's awesome. And you don't see your family that often, but it's the same concept. We do family dinner at my mom and dad's house every week. And I just got done. I told mom, I was like, hey, Claire's got us chocolate chip cookies tonight because she baked some cookies with me yesterday, mm-hmm. and we were just going to bring those over. So it's fun to watch a 2.5-year-old, you know, mess around with baking soda. So, but she was like, I've got 2 roasts. I've got potatoes and green beans. But she did all of that. We do it every week. Mm-hmm. But they're excited to be able to see
exactly.
her.
And
well, I'll stop. They're excited to be able to see her. They see me. They know who I am. But
they love you guys, too.
They want to see the little one. But yeah, just that excitement. And the other side of what we talked about last week, I think I told you about the Baptist preacher. We've talked about another Church of Christ preacher around here, Bill Greer, mm-hmm. that near the end of their lives, how excited they were to be entering that next phase. And
exactly.
How excited somebody is on the other side of that to be ready to take us home.
Yeah, to receive us. And so our hope in Christ and in our eternity, it isn't fragile. It's something that's firm because it's rooted in God's eternal plan. So I think today we're going to try to cover three truths about our hope. So our first one is that our hope is anchored in God's desire for us all to be saved.
And I think the verse that we were looking at here was 1 Timothy 2:3-4, mm-hmm. Which I'll read that real quick. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to know the knowledge of the truth. And I think that's a really important verse that gets looked over, especially in in denominations of mm-hmm. Christianity, is that there's some people that'll say, well, I don't know the extreme, right? The one that says the 144,000.
Yes, I knew that's where you're going with
whoever
that.
Whoever that group is. And not to be judgmental or hateful towards that group. It's just, it's not accurate, but God desires all people to be saved, mm-hmm. not 144,000, not just those who are worthy or that we deem worthy, but mm-hmm. he desires everybody.
Exactly. And I also want to note that God does not view us as unworthy. A lot of times when we feel unworthy, that's coming from us and our kind of, you know, us being down on ourselves. But God desires for you to be saved. You are not unworthy. You are not unredeemable. You are not unsavable. You are worthy, and it is God's deepest desire for us all to be saved. I mean, I think Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23, you know, God wants the wicked to turn from their ways. He doesn't want them to perish. He wants them to change their behavior and to come to him.
And at the end of the day, when you look at what differentiates true Christianity, what we try our best to follow, and any other religion, I mean, even think of our closest sisters, something like Catholicism. Mm-hmm. There's very much a hierarchy of here's what you have to do and here's the status that you have to be to get into heaven or to mm-hmm. be worthy. And that's not the case here. God, the salvation is for all, and God desires all of us to attain that salvation. Mm-hmm. So it's such a difference than anything else. Islam, the Catholicism, Shinto, whatever religion you want to pull out, that we're the only one that everybody's on the same playing field. Mm-hmm. And I think there's beauty in that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely agree.
The second point, if we were kind of done mm-hmm. wrapping up that one,
yeah.
but that our hope is secured through Jesus' sacrifice. And in the verse there, I won't take the time to turn to it, but John 14:6 was what I had, where I am mm-hmm. the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I think that's a verse to chase a small rabbit trail here. Mm-hmm. That when I talk to people who are Methodist or Baptist or insert, you know, close religion to ours today, it's very hard to have conversations where people will say, well, oh, our brothers and sisters at other denominations or our brothers and mm-hmm. sisters at another type of church, almost trying to lump us into the same category. And people have asked me the question before. It's a difficult question, but they'll say, well, do you think because I go to church X, Y, and Z that I'm not saved?
And it's so like, I have a reply to that one. And what I normally say is,
I would
is,
be anxious to hear this.
So, and I have encountered this question as well. And my reply to that is always, I believe that if you are living life the way that it was set out in the New Testament, if you are living as a New Testament Christian should be, then you are going to heaven. The name for me is less important as far as like what's outside of your building. If you are doing and living the way that Jesus intended for us to live, then yes. And that normally staves off any more unpleasant conversation or blaming or getting angry. And that's a good way to kind of bridge the gap, I feel like.
Absolutely. And it always is a difficult discussion to have. Mm-hmm. But again, there's the verse that... you know, scripture is not left to any one man's interpretation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's not hard. We do the best we can, but it is, it does say that, you know, not everybody is saved. That is an ugly truth to the world that we live in. God desires that we're all to be saved, mm-hmm. but his love and his desire for that does not automatically mean that we all have attained that. He's clearly laid out a way for us to attain that. And maybe that's talked about a little bit more in point number three when we get there, but he's opened that pathway for us, mm-hmm. but attaining it is sort of left on us. There's a responsibility left on us as well.
Right. And that actually families very well, the second and third points kind of go hand in hand. So in, as far as talking about how our hope is secured through Jesus' sacrifice, Craig mentioned Exodus chapter 12, and that is when, they put the blood of the lamb over the doorposts to be passed over by the angel of death. And it's something that when you think about it, salvation, there's always an action involved. They were given a way out. God said, you know, kill the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost, but they had to go through those actions of actually doing it. They knew what to do, and it was like, oh, okay, we've got a way out, but you actually have to do something to obtain that.
And it's funny when we think of those physical acts, like actually painting your door frame.
Yeah.
Was there anybody that was like, oh, I knew to do that, but I just,
oh,
I didn't
I just
have time.
Forgot. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, time got away from me. I doubt it. I highly doubt it. I bet you every single person remembered.
Because that's tangible. To do that. It's real. Mm-hmm. It's right in front of you.
And it's instant. Like it was something that happened, you know, very quickly after they were told to do this. It wasn't like 5 years in the future or 10 years in the future. One of the examples that Craig gave today was, it's like you've got a plane ticket that is paid for, but you still have to board the plane. You still have to get to the airport and go through TSA, go through security, and board that plane. Just because you have the ticket doesn't guarantee you anything.
Take off your shoes and your belt. And
although, did you hear that you may not have to take off your shoes anymore? They're changing that rule for TSA.
You know, I complain, but there's a level of comfort in knowing that at least they're checking for shoe bombs or whatever it may be. So I don't know if that'll get edited on the podcast or not. I can't say that, the B word. But I don't know how I feel about that. It'll be more convenient. But
it will
let's
be.
Just not hope nobody sneaks anything bad onto a plane.
I think that happened maybe one time, and they've tightened security, and now they're realizing that was...
I'm going to tell my belt.
That was not the most common
today.
Way to get something shady through TSA.
But you're absolutely right. There are actions that we are called to do. And even in talking to the person that he said caught him on the street, where it was like, well, are you saved? And he's like, yes, I confess my sins. I was baptized. And the gentleman trying to say, well, that's not what makes you saved. And it's like, okay, well, you tell me what makes you saved. But we have the book, chapter and verse for the Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. And
it's actually one of the verses that supports our third point, which is hope is revived by obedient living. And showing our obedience is how we show love, really.
Absolutely. And there's a song. It is a very old choral piece. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I don't know if you've heard that one before, but we did.
It will not shock you that I have, Alex.
I would have believed you would have. At Boyd Buchanan, we did a joint choir practice with Lipscomb at the time, and it was awesome. We kind of had like a super chorus of several different, you know, religious schools that came together for this weekend. But we all sang. You probably had, you know, 400 to 500 of us singing that song. That was, it was pretty. But that's in John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And that is a way that we show our love. It's not just a show of love, as some people will say. Again, Acts 2:38, we're commanded, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So we know that's commanded of us. And if you don't do those things, just like if you didn't paint the blood on the doorpost, I don't believe...
there are consequences.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Now, there's... I did, if we have 30 seconds for a story. So I've talked about this before, but scuba diving has been a passion of mine. I haven't done it in a little while, but maybe on a vacation sometime I'll be able to. But one of my certifications is in stress and rescue diving. The rescue part's the really fun because you get to help other people. The stress part is the how do you react when something goes bad for you? If you're swimming along, at, you know, 100 feet under the water and you can't go to the top and all of a sudden your air stops working, what do you do? All of a sudden you have your goggles, you know, have water in them. You can't see anything. What do you do? There's aspects and things that you're supposed to be able to do or that we're trained in that allow you to help better be rescued. So this, it's almost like a, if you're still in control, what can you do to help somebody rescue you? Because that's the end of it. When you try and rescue somebody who's playing like they're unconscious, that's really hard. And if you think about us, how... what a full-grown man would weigh
with
tank and the BCD and all that. It's extremely heavy to swim a long way with, and I can attest from experience to that. So, but if you do these things, if you're able to somehow get your BCD off with it still connected to your mouth, that's your life source, and look at your tank, or if you can do some certain things, that really helps somebody else come along and save you. And it's almost like being trained to do the things that's like, just let me come help you. You know, that's something mom and dad would tell to me and my sister all the time. And what I tell my daughter when she's trying to do something herself, she wants to do everything by herself.
And she's fiercely like, independent.
I do it myself. No, 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 no. For those of you that know my daughter, you know exactly how she says it. But when it's almost like, just let me help you. That, and I think that's the case here in modern English for us. Just let me help you. Just do the things that I've told you to do that allows me to save you.
Right. You know, obedience, it's not a checklist. It's not earned, but it's rather, it's lived. And like I said, obedience isn't about earning your salvation. It's about responding to God's love. So I know we're coming up on time here. So and very, very quickly to wrap it up. Number one, God desires your salvation. He desires that more than anything else. Number two, Jesus secured your salvation with his sacrifice. And number three, your obedience affirms your salvation.
If you didn't listen to the rest of this podcast, you've heard it all in the last 30 seconds there. But I think that does cover it. And I do like the very last line of the day that he had, live out these facts. Live like you've got salvation to look forward to. Don't walk around like Eeyore.
Which is
something that all the kids love. My little one popped up, Eeyore. We've been watching that lately. So don't walk around like Eeyore. We've got something to look forward to. And as long as we do what we're told, help him to help us.
Yeah, take heart in these facts and allow this knowledge to really revive your hope. And thank you so much for being with us. I will not be joining you next week. So you can look forward to a special treat.
Maybe somebody returning.
Maybe. We'll see. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Have a great day, week, whenever you're listening. Thank you so much.
Until we meet again, God bless you all.
This is After Sunday.